And with that, my friends, will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, I guess we're not in the most ideal of situations. When we thought we weren't in the most ideal of situations, we get into less of an ideal situation. But you know what? We are the people of God, and we will strive through, and we will be okay, and it's all good, right? Yes? Amen? Amen. All right. Well, this morning, we move into our newest Dr. Seuss book, and before we talk about our newest Dr. Seuss book, I wanted to tell you about a little project I've been working on in my backyard. I won't tell you what the project is, and I won't tell you what the end result is going to be of the project, but what I'm going to tell you is that the most recent aspect of my project is that I spent the last 2 days painting cinder blocks. And not just a couple cinder blocks, I painted 48 cinder blocks and 14 capstones. Now, I know you might be thinking, and I can read it on Mason's face, why in the world would anybody paint 48 cinder blocks and 14 capstones? And I guess you'll just have to wait until the project's finished to find out what kind of crazy person does just that. But I am the crazy person that did just that. I spent the time out in the sun painting cinder blocks with a couple people's help that did some of them for me. I'll acknowledge that. But at the end of painting, what happened? I looked down. I had paint all over my hands. I had paint on my forearms. I had paint on my shirt, because I'm one of those people when I paint that I automatically wipe my hands on my shirt. So I have to wear painting shirts. But then I also noticed that I had scrapes and bruises on my leg from where I was picking up these cinder blocks, and they were scratching on me as I was going. What did I have at the end of the day? But I had the marks of somebody who had been working. There was no doubt what I had been doing, that I had been painting and carrying something heavy that can scratch you and leave marks. It was right there, the evidence of my work. Now, as we think about this, the evidence of work and seeing the marks of what we have done in our commitment is what brings us to Horton. Horton, who we first see in Horton Hears a Who, as he defends Whoville, talking about a person as a person, no matter how small, and no matter what ridicule he's gonna go through, no matter what he must face, he is going to save Whoville, even though nobody else can hear them or see them. And then we move into our second book, Horton Hatches the Egg. It's the less known of the Horton books. It's the one they didn't make a movie out of. But what's the thing about Horton Hatches an Egg? Lazy Maisie the bird, who has laid an egg, decides that Lazy Maisie would rather go on vacation than sit on her own egg. And so what does she do? She asks faithful Horton to sit on her egg and watch it until she comes back. So Horton, being faithful, Horton, being a good friend, Horton, who lives with commitment, agrees to watch this egg just for a short period of time while Maisie gets a vacation. Well, that short period turns into forever. But here Horton sits, this giant elephant, on this little egg, and he sits no matter what. He sits despite the ridicule and mocking of his friends and community. He sits despite the weather turning bad and him having to be out there in the elements with nothing to protect him. No matter what, Horton is going to stay on that egg, because an elephant's an elephant, 100%. Oh my goodness, I need the bulletin because I forgot what the quote was, y'all. But these things happen, right? Horton is faithful no matter what. Here Horton takes on this egg and says, no matter what, I'm going to. Yeah, I can read that, I promise. But here's Horton. It's one of those days, y'all. Happy Mother's Day, when things don't always go right. But Horton, here in this book, what does he show us? But he exemplifies faithfulness and commitment to a T. He shows to us the example of suffering and perseverance, and he shows faithfulness with an end result that's a surprise at the end of the book. When the egg hatches, not only does it look like Maisie a bird, but it has big elephant ears reflective of Horton, that this small, tiny animal inside this egg has taken on part of the image of Horton, the one that loved it to no end, even though it wasn't his own. Sounds a little bit like God, right? Except we are his own. But God is faithful 100%. God is totally and completely committed to us, willing to do anything for us to keep us as his own and to take care of us. Our scripture this morning in 1 Peter 1 reminds us of just this. And here the author, potentially Peter the apostle, or potentially another Peter writing in his name, talks to an audience, a community that's going through difficult times. And this community is living up in what we know now as Asia Minor, but this community was Gentile Christians. So what were they? They were outsiders into the community. They weren't the inside crowd. They weren't the first chosen. But here they were, following Christ and being disciples. And so Peter is writing with encouragement to them, writing to them of how God sees them and how God will help them to get through what they are facing. They're given what Peter says, a new birth through God's mercy and with an inheritance. What kind of an inheritance? An inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, that's kept in heaven for them and for us. Here, 1 Peter is good news to each and every one of us. Whether we feel like an insider or an outsider, a part of the community or one that's struggling to be a part of it, whether we're seen as accepted, whether we're seen as rejected, that God loves us and that God sent God's Son to die for us because of God's love and great mercy for us. So here we see it, God's belonging. And what does it say in the CEB version? But it's God's chosen strangers. Once strangers, now loved ones, friends, and family. But in this text, there's something about it, because it talks about being included through God's love. But then it warns them, and it warns us, that we will go through suffering. Not because God inflicts it upon us, because it happens to us as humanity. It's inevitable that it's going to happen. No parent, as we look at this Mother's Day, could look at their young child and tell them that their life will always be perfect, that they will never have disappointments, that they will never have failures, that they will never feel heartache or pain, that they will never go through trying times. We just can't say that because it's just not true. Suffering is a part of this world. Pain is a part of this world. Disappointment and failure is a part of this world. But the good news is that God says it's only for a little while, and I will be there to make you stronger through it. I will be there to help you see the other side, as we've been saying almost every week of this quarantine, that God will help us through. This morning, as I was thinking about Horton and Horton's faithfulness and what Horton endured, I couldn't help but think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, which I always pronounce Abednego wrong, but oh well, it works, right? Shadrach, Shak, and Benny would be what VeggieTales would tell me. But here they are, living in a foreign land. Here they are in exile. Here they are that they're so far away from home, they've even been given names that aren't their own. And here when their faith is put to the test, here when they're told to reject God, the God that loves them, created them, and sustains them, when they're asked to reject him, they just can't. They know they could be punished. They know it could cause them death, but they're not willing to turn back on their faith. They're not willing to turn their backs on God, and they get thrown in the fiery furnace. There they are, feeling the flames, feeling the heat. But what do we see? God protects them with God's angels. Though they're feeling the pressure, though they're seeing the danger, God was there and got them through it. How do we keep such a faith? How do we keep faith when we're feeling the hot flames of this world, when we're feeling the suffering and the pain and the challenges? Well, how do we do it? We have a Horton-sized commitment and faith. That's how we do it. Let's think about marks of discipleship. Let's go back to those cinder blocks and think about it, that afterwards I had the marks of a painter, somebody who had been right in there with the paint doing a project, and it showed right on me. We as discipleships have our marks of discipleship also, but they take true commitment. I found this quote in thinking about commitment from Kenneth Blanchard, and he says, there's a difference between interest and commitment. When you are interested in doing something, you do it when it's convenient. When you are committed to something, you accept no excuses, only results. How do we have marks of discipleship? By being committed disciples. We got to get right there in it. Think about a mother. How does she parent? She can't parent from afar and only when it interests her, only when it's going well, only when it's pleasing and easy. A mother has to be 100% committed. A mother has to be down there with their kids in it fully. I love my kids. I love being a mother. Balancing pastoring and mothering is one of the most beautiful balances to have. But I love when I'm in there with my kids, doing puzzles, playing games. They get out on their scooters, and I gladly and happily and proudly jump on one of those scooters and race them around the block. Why? Because being in there with them, in the midst of life with them, is what brings me the greatest of joys and puts me close enough there with them to be there on the tough days, the difficult days, the days that require tears when they just miss their school, miss their friends, and miss their extended family. You gotta be right in there. To think about it another way, a couple years ago, I remember getting invited to go to lunch with the Filipino Fellowship officers, and we went down to a seafood place in Redondo Beach. What kind of seafood place? One of those places that they drop a plastic bag in front of you filled with shrimp and crawfish and corn on the cob and potatoes. And what are they covered in? This most delicious sauce. You can't be timid in how you eat this. You can't be neat and clean if you want to get the meat of the shrimp and the meat of the crawfish and the goodness of the potatoes and the corn. You gotta dig in. You gotta be messy. You gotta be right there with it. You gotta put on a bib to protect your clothes, and you gotta be able to get to the wash basin afterwards, because you're going to be covered in the goodness of that meal. The more you dig in, the dirtier you get, the better you taste and experience that meal. This is the same way it is living a Christian life, a disciple of Christ. If we just look from afar, yes, we see a wonderful story. Yes, we see the goodness of God. But to be a true disciple, to truly experience God, to truly experience who Christ is, to truly experience the fullness of faith and to receive the joy that comes with it, the hope in trying times, the presence that assures us that we are not alone, we gotta get right in there with Christ. We gotta get our hands dirty. We gotta get in close enough that we can feel Christ's breath upon our face. We have to dive in with everything that we've got, committed 100% of the time, not just when it's easy, not just when it interests us, but all the time, being Christ's disciple. So how do we do that, you ask? I got a few tips for us. The first is that we have to see, like Christ, like God, and like Horton, we have to be willing to look out and see the value in all people and all creatures, to see all as God's beautiful creation, to see all as loved by Christ, not just those that are like us. For we see in the scriptures in the New Testament where it's no longer slave and free, Jew and Gentile, male and female, insider and outsider, but that all are covered through Christ. All are available to receive of what Christ has to offer, the love, grace, and mercy that comes from God. And so how do we put on God's lens to see God in all people and to be able to approach them, love them, and care for them in just such a way? And to see, like Horton, when it's difficult to love, when it's difficult to be committed to others, how we stick to it, how we endure to be able to see the prize that comes at the end, the joy of seeing that our endurance produces a strong faith and produces joy that comes through Christ. How do we see that value in all, even seeing the value of God in us? And second, how is it that we focus on the mission? Sometimes when we start a project, when we begin a journey, we'll get lost along the way. Why? Because we forget what we're going for. We forget what the mission is. We forget where the journey is taking us. We forget why we're doing it. And when we forget why we're doing it, it's easy to turn away. It's easy to just stop. It's easy to walk away. But how do we keep our eyes focused on the end result? That's not just about today, not just about this moment, but is about a lifetime, that's about a full kingdom, that's about accomplishing what God has put before us. When we focus our eyes on the eternal, when we focus our eyes in the treasures in heaven that we are storing up, when we show love and compassion and justice and kindness and faithfulness that is worth every enduring moment. Because what does God tell us? That we are being refined in the fire, that those fires and those sufferings are not destroying us, but they are refining us and giving us even a greater value and a greater strength. So how do we keep our eyes focused on that mission? Remembering what we are doing and why we are doing it and who is there with us every step of the way. How is it that all along the way that we trust in God, that we trust that God will be good to his word and his promises, and to know that God has always kept his promises, that we see story after story, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, that God got them through the furnace, that Daniel, though he could see the teeth of the lion, was not harmed, that Noah, though he endured all those days on that boat with all those stinky animals, that his feet got back on solid ground. They trusted in God. They followed God's plan, and they saw the other side of the tough times and sufferings they were going through. And God, who has kept his promise all through the scriptures, will keep his promise to us as well. And finally, how is it that we rejoice in the Lord? For Psalm 16:7 tells us, I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. How do we rejoice? Because when we gain our strength in the Lord, when we keep our faithfulness and commitment at a Horton size, we will not be shaken. We will not be defeated. We will not be destroyed, but we will endure, and we can rejoice in that. Today is a day to be able to rejoice, to give thanks for the mothers that gave us life, for the mothers that raised us, for the mothers that took us in, for the mothers that were aunts and aunties and grandmas and titas, and every name that we can put with it. We give thanks for them and the example of faithfulness and commitment that they have given to us. We give thanks in the same way that Christ has done just that for us, that Christ has been faithful to us, committed to us, and we are receiving the reward today and always. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, though life does not always go the way we want it to, that sometimes we find the hiccups and the hang-ups, sometimes we find the challenges that try to break us, but we will not be broken, for we are your people, and we have your strength in us that will help us to endure the fiery flames, the storms of life, and all that comes our way, because we have you with us. Help us to stay committed to you, not just when it's easy, not just when we need you, but at all times, keeping our eyes focused on you, being committed to our love for you and our love for one another. For all of this, we lift in your most holy name as we rejoice in you and give thanks for your love on this day. Amen.